As I started to speak this morning, Brian got up from his chair, ran into the control room, beat on Mikey B a little bit, and now is back. So I don't know what that was about.
Yeah, that better place we were in yesterday, no mo.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. No.
Well, I was trying to see if Connor could handle distractions, you know.
That's right. Connor is in for
the scowl.
Petey Meats on the board. the flu that Pete wanted to get. Seems like he did. Yesterday, our technical director, Pete Pilotti, I said, oh, you might have the flu. He goes, hope so. Well,
I bet the flu is tripping. Damn, can we get a better host?
Much like LeVar Ball, he spoke that into existence as he is not here today.
There you go.
Is everything all right between you two, or do I need to
be just fine.
Mediate?
You just give a man a little rap on the beat. Some respect around here.
Well, what did he say? What did he do to get you so angry?
He was barking orders.
Oh, he was barking orders.
You know,
okay.
I think he runs something like that.
Right. Okay. Well, how are you doing? Other than that, how are you doing?
I mean, you know what? Man, I'm glorious.
Really?
I'm just.
Again, back-to-back glorious days.
Back-to-back glorious days. Yes.
It's remarkable.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Yeah.
Okay.
All of that. And you?
I'm doing well. I mean, I can't match that.
Yes, you can.
No, I really can't. But okay. I am doing well. Yeah.
Cool.
So we've got stuff on the show today. There has been some news overnight about Tennessee filling that job with Alabama defensive coordinator Jeremy Pruitt. We will speak about that at length in about 40 minutes from now. Andrew Bogus will give you some more details on that coming up with an update in about 20 minutes from now. But I really wanted to open the show with something that happened yesterday. A couple of things. News of the NFL considering using the targeting rule like you see in college football, and also what Mike Mitchell of the Pittsburgh Steelers said. And the reason why I wanted to start there was because I'm very, very interested, and we have not spoken about this off the air yet. I'm very, very interested in what you think about both of these things. So I don't normally open up the show with a long soundbite, but I think it's important to hear Mike Mitchell and then have us react to it.
Okay.
So give me the whole thing, Connor, all right? I'll give you a number on this. Give me number six, all right, Connor?
This is football.
Well, hold on a second. I'll tell you exactly when to go. This is Mike Mitchell in the Steelers locker room yesterday. The Juju Smith-Schuster suspension was upheld.
Right.
The George Iloka suspension.
Reduced.
To a fine. Right, to a fine.
Yeah.
So you have that, and then you have an angry Mike Mitchell in the locker room. Of course, you know Ryan Shazier still recovering, but that's an emotional thing for that locker room. Maybe that played into, even though that was not a dirty play, but still might have played into this a little bit. Listen to Steelers safety Mike Mitchell.
End of the day, this is football. If you want to see flag football, then let's take our pads off. That would make it easier for me because now I don't got to wear heavy. But give us flags for me to pull off because that way I know what we're playing. You know, I signed up to play full-speed contact football, and we're not doing that. I feel like I got to ask a guy, hey, are you ready for me to hit you right now before I hit you? And that's crazy. I'm going to mess around and get hurt trying to protect an offensive player because he's running an over route. Damn it, your quarterback shouldn't have threw that ball messed up. That happened 2 years ago. I'm not joking at all. Andy Dalton threw a ball to Tyler Eifert 2 years ago. Tyler Eifert had to die for it. I was aiming for his gut. But if he don't dive, he don't get in the head. That's $50,000 out of my pocket, though, because Andy throws a bad ball. Make that make sense. And at first, you're taking our money, but now, you know, I got like Matt Hasselbeck calling me a dirty player and trying my character, and we've never met before. I donate more money to Cincinnati underprivileged kids than probably the people on the Bengals. So don't give me that name. My nephew goes to school there, man. I take all that personally. If you don't know me, if you never had a conversation with me, don't judge us by what you see on football, because football is my competitive side. You know what I'm saying? So it's just so much going on in the game right now. Yes, obviously I'm a little flustered, but I mean, we just got to do better. We got to do better. I said it yesterday. We got to do better as players when we sign the next CBA. We got to get better leadership as who's running the league, because obviously everybody from fans, owners, players, all disappointed in Roger Goodell. We just got to do better. We can't have a guy where you just hand out discipline on how you see fit. There needs to be a set guideline of how we do what we do.
Steelers safety Mike Mitchell in the Steelers locker room after practice yesterday. I'm going to steal a Brian Jones phrase that I hear a lot. I agree with 50% of 100% of what you just said. There are some things in there that I totally agree with.
Yeah.
I do think it's ironic, though, that he's upset that Matt Hasselbeck calls him a dirty player and they never met, but then he called him a blank hole and he's never met him. I thought that was
a blank hole for calling him a dirty player. I mean, though they never met.
I thought that was a little bit ironic. Like, all right, you're getting mad at a guy making judgments on you when you never met, but then you call him an even worse name. But okay.
Now they know each other.
Yeah, I guess so. But there are a couple of things in there that I do agree with. One is that it's really tough for some of these defenders to do these hits or, I guess, act out the way that the NFL wants them to in situations like he talked about, like with Tyler Eifert. We've said that before, guy lowering his target area in a split second in a player, and I do think there's times you can decipher that on the field and looking at those hits and saying, all right, that guy didn't mean to hit him there. It was more circumstance. But I think that the flag football argument is just too extreme. And I think that that came out of anger and frustration. Mm-hmm. He said, I signed up to play full speed, hard hitting football. It's still that. I do believe it's still that. There's still so much speed and hard hitting. It's just in an effort to protect the players from some unnecessary hits because of what we know about what can happen to them down the road. So, although there's some good points in there about trying to fix this and getting more consistency and Roger Goodell and the league making sure that it's a little more clear and doing better, I agree with that. But let's not act like the game is just a total wuss fest out there these days.
Right.
It's not like that at all.
Right. And what did we learn back in elementary school about when you're writing your thesis, you know, tell them what you're going to tell them, and then tell them again. And the way he started off telling us his story, it was wrongheaded. It just as you pointed out. And then he calmed down somewhat and he really got to the meat and potatoes of it. And the manner in which he expressed it was totally different. So I get what you're saying. And I was saying that at the beginning of all of this discussion about changing the game, being more thoughtful about the target area. And I have said many times, you know, Randy Cross helped me come around to where we are now. And yes, I get flustered and frustrated at some of these targeting calls because it is so difficult at times to change what you're aiming for in a split second. If you've ever been down on the field, you were a pit sideline reporter, you've seen these guys in action up close and personal, you have to have an appreciation of how fast they move, how big they are, and how difficult it is to have someone in your sight, and then at the last second, you have to adjust where you're, what you're aiming for. Being down there on the sideline Saturday, watching these big old behemoths, Georgia and Auburn, it's just amazing. Even as a former player, I sit there like, damn, I went through that. Everything looks like it hurts. Just stretching, watching these guys stretch looks like it hurts. Like, what was I thinking playing this game? But it's a beautiful game. It's a difficult game. And I understand the frustration from Mike Mitchell, but he's wrong about the flags on him and all that. Yeah, I even express that sentiment at times when I'm watching some of these targeting calls. But I like the fact that they may implement the targeting rules that are now in place.
You do like that.
At the collegiate level,
wow,
if they do it correctly.
But they won't.
We don't know that yet. Here's
the
deal.
Yes, I do.
They go back and they review it. And even though a lot of times I disagree, at least they go back and review, was it a targeting call? Should this person be kicked out of the ball game? A lot of times they reverse that, and sometimes they don't, and I disagree with them. But at least I like the fact that they go back and they look at it and they say, okay, we're going to reverse that call.
If you could tell me that there is strong evidence to suggest, and I don't think this is possible yet because there's not enough data out there, but that there's strong evidence to suggest that ejecting players from games keeps players healthier in the long term, then I would sign up for this 100%. My fear is, though, that the NFL never gets any of these things right when they have a lot of time to think about it. I'm talking days to sit there and review it and think about it. Look at what we just saw with Iloka and Schuster. They had days and appeals to try to figure that out, and they came nowhere near where they needed to be with this. The Rob Gronkowski thing, same deal. And you're telling me that now within a game we're going to trust these same balloon heads to make the right decision in critical NFL games where millions of dollars are on the line?
You didn't ask me if I trust them. I said I'm okay with them implementing that policy that's now in place. Now, do I trust them wholeheartedly? I can't say honestly yes. No, I can't. But I think it's a good policy if it's implemented and if it's done right. I think it's a good policy to go back and review instead of just arbitrarily looking at it and say, okay, he's out. No, go back and review it. Reverse the damn call. Leave the person in the game and let's move on.
Yeah,
now, if they can enforce that correctly, I'm all for it.
Well, that's a huge if in my eyes. And sure, I would stand by that statement too if they could enforce it correctly. But I've got so many examples, one after another, that says that they will not be able to do that. Because unless they bring in a whole slew of new people, new faces, different brains to be in charge of that, then I'm going to expect the same incompetence. And the fact that, now, I didn't think either one of those hits was suspendable at all in that Steelers-Bengals game, either Iloka or Juju Smith-Schuster. But if you were going to tell me that one of them was going to be a fine and not a suspension, I would have said it was Schuster just because of the emphasis and what I've been told about helmet-to-helmet hits in the NFL.
So what
is the answer? I mean, they cannot add another wrinkle to this. Now, maybe I'd feel better about it if you could tell me with conviction that you think that there are fewer of these dangerous hits in college football that are unnecessary, and you believe that the game is healthier for players now because of that targeting rule.
Well,
do you feel that way?
There are reports each year, and we've seen it at the NFL level as well, and falsely a couple of years ago, I believe it was stated that the concussions and the hits to the head had decreased, and you see that at the collegiate level as well. There has been a decline in those type of hits, but they're still going to occur because it's so difficult to change just like that in the snap of a finger. It's so difficult to change and aim for a different target area. So there has been a decline. This has been a deterrent, but they still occur. And there's no way you're going to be able to completely eliminate it from the game. It's not going to happen. You're going to see this more and more often. Hell, we saw USF. It seemed like every week one of their guys was being kicked out of a game this season because of the targeting rule. So, yes, there's been a decline. And do we need to do more? Well, I don't know how much more or how further you can go than what they're doing right now. And I don't like the fact that you're kicking the guy off the sideline as if he would. You can discern when there's a malicious intent. I know,
but
I can.
They can't.
But they.
That's
exactly
the problem.
Well, they should be able to. And you know when a guy's lowering his helmet and trying to hurt. It was a Pittsburgh Steeler guy. He went. It was a couple of games ago we talked about how he went into a player and clearly lowered his helmet. And no call whatsoever. Nothing. So, yeah, is it uniform as far as they apply the rule? No, it's not. And I'm in agreement with you. The Iloka hit was worse than the Juju Smith-Schuster hit. And yet, that fine is reduced and the Smith-Schuster hit is not. How do you look at that over and over and not see the distinction there?
Right, and that's what scares me about adding another wrinkle to these rules and having people make those decisions within the game.
How about we get some defensive guys on this this committee or not committee or in this room with John Runyon and James Thrash? You got a former offensive lineman. You have a former wide receiver. Can we get some defensive representation? I know Merton Hanks at one point he was there with the league office. I'm not sure if he's still employed there or if this is still within his purview. But let's get more defensive guys in there, not to say that they're going to always side on the defense. No, but I'd love to have a little balance in the room.
Sure, if I thought that they actually had some autonomy on making those decisions, but I'm a firm believer that there isn't anything that happens in that building without a Roger Goodell sign-off. So I don't think a defensive player's perspective in there is going to be heard like it should. I think that Goodell will say, listen, we have to do whatever we can so we don't get sued later on because we don't need to pay out millions upon millions of dollars to former players that say we didn't try to protect them. That's what this is about. Mm-hmm. You want to tell me that Roger Goodell has a soft spot in his heart for former players that are in wheelchairs or have CTE or dealing with some sort of horrible thing? No, he doesn't. What he cares about is a bunch of owners saying, we don't need to pool our money together again and end up sending out these millions and millions of dollars of settlements. So do whatever you can next time that this litigation comes about to say that, no, look, at all these measures that we put in, the whole thing's a farce.
I don't know what's in the man's heart.
And I do.
No, you do not.
Well, this NFL, I do.
Of course they want to protect their ass. They want to protect their baby and not be liable for another lawsuit down the road. I would agree. And you can look at how they are now handling the current concussion lawsuit, and you can see that there's some failings involved in that, but that's a whole other story.
They're still lying about that
right.
stuff.
I understand still. They're still lying, and they're still denying guys who clearly have issues, and that has been, that information has been sent to my email over and over in the last 3 months. So
that's how I know what's in his heart, yeah. is he's still telling people to lie about it. Still, they're finding their own doctors and not listening to the people that are independent when it comes to it.
They reject some and they promote others and they say they're sending you to an independent doctor, and yet you're the one that is determining who's independent and who's not.
Yeah. So I don't think this is going to get any better, and I think this is another instance in 2017 in the NFL where it's a really significant negative story. And I said yesterday, I'm changing my tune on this. I used to think that these things were good for the NFL, that you were just talking about it, and it was never going to take a step back or go down a rung in the popularity of sports in this country. And I firmly believe now that we're in a situation where it's starting to.
Well, you have a different generation that's growing up with these new steps, these new rules in place, and the violence of the game. They see it in a different vein than those of my generation, that the game was sold to us on the fact that it was violent. So now you're trying to take some aspects of that out of the ball game, and it still is going to occur from time to time. And those who were sold on a different, more docile game, if you will, they don't view it in the same way as I do.
Coming up next, an Andrew Bogish update. In about 20 minutes, we're going to talk about Tennessee looking like they finally have a coach.
Mm-hmm.
And also, we're talking about targeting here in the NFL. But at CBS Sports Radio, we have a bigger problem. It's called poaching. We're coming right back.
Talk to Gio and Jones now. 855-212-4CBS.
A national anthem rendition that was sort of outside the box, was
unique.
It not?
It was unique.
It was unique.
Yeah.
And you know the Jimi Hendrix national anthem from Woodstock.
Whew.
It's just unbelievable.
Mm.
And anytime you hear it, it withstands the test of time. It's just remarkable stuff, and it was revolutionary at the time.
Right? And he was vilified for it. There were folks that got on him about that.
Right. And at the time, I mean, I read about it. Obviously, I wasn't around when this happened. But you know that this is Woodstock, iconic moment. Fordham basketball game, a recreation of that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. On a Wednesday night in December.
In December.
With Harvard in town.
Yeah. Odd spot. For a recreation of that, would you say?
That's a good stage. What's wrong? I mean, you want to try it out, you know, on a small stage before you take it to the big stage,
but
right?
Bogish was there, and he said very, very awkward.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you're going to work at the Kings, you do it on the Atlantic 10 digital network.
So you're saying it was bad?
Yeah.
Okay, well it was bad no matter what the stage.
It was
horrible.
So bad it was good.
It could be at a lacrosse game, nothing against lacrosse, but if it's bad, it's bad.
So let's listen to it. It takes a little. We won't play the whole thing. It takes a little while for him to get into the bad.
Yeah, and Mike's got to tweet out the video because you have to watch him.
Yeah,
he's doing
like the windmill thing.
No.
And he's me. I mean, he's a nerdy white guy in a Slayer
he's
T-shirt.
Like, yeah, and he's, you know, spreads his legs out and like. You know.
No.
The only thing he didn't do was break the guitar on the court when he was done.
All right, so let's take a listen. In the beginning, when you first hear, you're like, oh, man, he's got a chance here. Mm-hmm. And then there's also other times later where you're like, oh, I was pretty good. But then there's a couple of moments in there like you're like, kid, come on. You got to get a new hobby. Let's take a listen.
Mm-hmm.
finger gets stuck.
Now do you understand when you hear that? You're like Fordham, Harvard, December, Wednesday, weird.
What grade would you give him?
As a showman, it was like a B+. Because he was all over the place.
I'd say a C. There was a couple of moments that were really bad. He was either really, really good or really, really bad.
I would give him a B-. I'd say B-.
Now, the beginning, let me set the scene. So this is longer than Super Bowl national anthems.
Yeah.
There's, you know, both teams are on the court lined up, and the kids are alternating between stone-faced, hand on their heart, like just staying true to patriotism in America. The other half is at their face buried, hiding, laughing, looking around. It really was... It was so bizarre, especially visually watching him. Doing almost full backflips. You were waiting for like the punked cameras to come out and be like, "Ha ha, we got you." And it was never ending. And that initial switch where it almost sounds like a violin.
He
ran to his amp. I don't know how guitars work, but he did something as he was holding that one note. And when he stood back up, the guitar sounded completely different.
Right. I was wondering what happened there.
Yeah, that did not work.
It got a little grungy at certain point.
Didn't work.
But that, the violin, like, damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, not good.
But that led to the ultimate transition back into full-on rock.
It's unbelievable.
So un-American.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Okay.
Poor Joel, the guy who hired him, was not happy after the game.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he was happy because my buddy who I was working with works for SI.com, and their account tweeted it out. So, like, it got some notoriety last night. So he was happy for, the viral aspect of it.
Yeah.
But... there was about 30% of the gym that thought it was atrocious, and he heard a lot from them. And the kid didn't do all of the gyrations during his audition and sound check.
That's what I was gonna say.
So
that's what I figured.
He was a little, but in general, he was like, I said to him, "I was like, Joel, I don't remember one national anthem before today, and I've been to 200 events here. This one will never be forgotten."
Yeah, but that's not necessarily a great thing, though.
Probably not. I was trying to make poor Joel feel better.
All right. Well, give us an update, Bogus.
Sure. T. Martin will have to settle for that cul-de-sac named in his honor in Knoxville. Tennessee reportedly going with Alabama defensive coordinator Jeremy Pruitt as their head coach. The official announcement expected later today. But Pruitt would apparently like to coach the Tide through the college football playoffs while getting things rolling at Rocky Top. Now, pro football.
Benjamin Franklin is killing the game.
Roger Goodell's controversial extension is now done, signed by the commissioner and compensation committee head Arthur Blank. The 5-year package could reportedly pay Goodell as much as $200 million through bonuses and incentives. Eli Manning is once again the Giants' starting quarterback, and the Chiefs have suspended cornerback Marcus Peters for Sunday against the Raiders for throwing a penalty flag into the stands in frustration Sunday at the Jets.
You're kicking himself out of the game when he wasn't kicked out of the game.
And taking his socks off, which still has not been explained.
Coming back sockless.
Yeah, I know Andy Reid's lost some weight, but I was just picturing him sitting in his office, like dipping fries into something other than ketchup.
Mayonnaise.
Like ranch or something, you know, like that. And then popping them in his mouth and talking with his mouth full, asking somebody's opinion on it. This is what I thought yesterday. Like can't, this is a visual, like dipping a fry and going, "I think we should spend it ourselves." Because they're not going to do anything about it.
Now, is he a Diet Coke guy to balance out?
Probably, yeah. But like only from the fountain ones,
right,
that
the
you
big
get.
Gulp, like, of
right,
Diet Coke.
Right. Very little ice, big straw, you know, and just all day. Just sucking it down. Definitely.
The Denver Nuggets are struggling without the injured
Nikola
Jokic and Paul Millsap, but head coach Michael Malone does not care after a 123-114 loss in New Orleans.
They didn't feel us. We didn't take it personally. They kicked our ass, and it's becoming the same story every single night. And until our guys start taking it personal, until our guys start understanding the importance of playing defense and guarding your man one-on-one, we're going to be, forget playoffs. Let's not even, that is a word we should not use with this team.
DeMarcus Cousins had 40 points and 22 boards.
They didn't
Pelicans.
Feel us. Feel me.
The Cavaliers won their 13th straight despite a 14-point hole in the third quarter, 101-95 over the Kings. The Warriors dropped the Hornets, 101-87. As Steph Curry missed his first game with that ankle injury, 35 points, 11 rebounds, and 10 assists for Kevin Durant. Boston beat Dallas 97-90, and the Bucks got by the Pistons 104-100. Suns guard Devin Booker to miss 2 to 3 weeks with a left adductor strain.
I'm sorry, I just got distracted by the television because some people are just so... like, all right, there's an interview with Carl Ravitch this is just so unbelievable. So Carl Ravitch and Aaron Boone, it's an interview that they're doing. Obviously, they work together. And the two guys that are associated with the Yankees that you know are deliberately trying to get in the shot for attention are right there. And Randy Levine, who is an attention you-know-what, he is always trying to get attention. And then John Sterling, the radio play-by-play voice, is just loitering behind. And these guys have been around for a long time. They know exactly what they're doing, and they're so them in that moment. Levine is 2 inches away from the interview, right in between the two of them, like pretending to be on his phone just to get a little camera time. That was unbelievable.
That was incredible. I saw it earlier. I was like, doesn't he know that they're doing an interview right now?
They're trying to like zoom in on Boone. You still see like the Fozzie Bear haircut of Randy Levine, who's the team president. Oh, my God, that was so perfect.
I also never realized how much Randy Levine looks like a bleach blonde Peter Schwartz.
Oh, there's a little bit of that. Mm-hmm. Yes, of CBS Sports Radio, Schwartz on Sports. Oh, that was incredible. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I got distracted there. And then Sterling, too, of course. Sterling just by himself, just standing there like, oh, like you got nowhere to go, John? Jeez.
There was college basketball last night. It included second-ranked Kansas falling to Washington, 74-65. And number 5, Florida losing at home to Loyola Chicago, 65-59. The Gators have lost 3 straight. UCLA did not play Montana last night because of the wildfires ravaging the L.A. area. Both the Angels and Mariners acquired $1 million in international bonus money yesterday in trades with Minnesota. Now they can offer Shohei Ohtani even more. And on ice, the Capitals took care of the Blackhawks 6-2, a goal and 3 assists for Alex Ovechkin. Boys?
All right, thanks, Bogus. We have a major violation here at CBS Sports Radio, and I don't know who to place blame on.
Uh-oh.
So it's a guest poach, and it's a guest poach of the highest order. So very early on in this show's existence, I suggested around the holidays and times where it would be Father's Day, or maybe even a slower time in sports, that we would have in Katie Linnendahl, who is this tech guru who had appeared on the Today Show, won an Emmy. She's just a massive amount of Twitter followers.
Right.
And she would come in here and give us a great segment and bring gifts. And nobody really knew who she was until I suggested maybe we have Katie Linnendahl in. Did anybody know who Katie Linnendahl is before I mention her?
No, Greg.
No, nobody knew. Okay, just making sure. Yep. You didn't know either.
I didn't
know. Connor, you ever heard of her? No. All right. So I saw a couple weeks ago, maybe a couple months ago, Katie Linnendahl is on the DA show.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, good for her. You know, and we weren't thinking about her at that time. It wasn't a point in the year where we would go to Katie Linnendahl.
She was here for Halloween.
Yeah, right. We never had her on Halloween. We had her on like Father's Day, had her on around the holidays. That's when we had her. So I was like, Halloween Linnendahl, you can have Halloween Linnendahl. I don't need Halloween Linnendahl. But then yesterday, she's in here and she's like Linnendahl claws. She's got a sack of gifts. She comes into the DA show. She's throwing the gifts like frisbees to people. Bogus is getting stuff. Everybody's getting stuff. And she, at that moment, became DA's guest and no longer our guest. So much so that Mike and I walked downstairs yesterday to get some coffee. We walked right by Katie. I mean, it was just like, hey, oh, hey. Totally awkward. She knew she'd been poached. There was a poaching. So it's an official poaching now. There's no doubt about it. Katie Linden-Dahl is no longer a Gio and Jones guest. She is a DA guest.
Why can't we share her?
You can't. Someone like that, you can't.
Yes, you can.
Because she'd be on the network too much. There's multiple gifts she has to get. You can't take advantage of it.
Did you call her out?
So we did not, and I had an opportunity to, but I don't think it's not her fault. She gets asked on a show, so I'm not going to get on her.
It is her fault. She could have said, I'm dating Gio and Jones.
No, I don't think so, because she doesn't know if we're going to call her or not. She wants to get her stuff out there. She's got to jump on these opportunities. I'm not going to blame her. But where does this blame lie? I mean, I could take some responsibility for it the first time I saw a Halloween Linden-Dahl and say, hey, make sure that Christmas we get her. I could have done that. I did not do that. So I will take some responsibility for that.
Who else saw that? Who else was aware of the Halloween booking?
You weren't aware of that? You didn't see her? You're here.
Were you supposed to?
She was here. You didn't see her?
How did you not see her?
I don't remember.
That's not a good enough excuse.
Well, I'm trying to leave here earlier.
But she's...
Which is not an excuse either.
Right.
No, I know. No, it isn't. Some of the blame is on me, absolutely.
All right. But do we get on Marash and DA for a full-blown guest post?
Yes.
That is really the question
here. I volunteered to do it, too.
I mean, I didn't reach out for this time of year, so that is on me. It didn't.
Well, of course it's on you. Why haven't you reached out this time of year? You knew it was this time of year.
Okay. Bring down the voice.
Oh, shut up. Don't tell me what to do.
No, I messed up.
I don't have no indoor voice.
I screwed up.
Yeah.
I should have done a better job.
Get on the show.
Well, now it's a little weird.
No,
can't
it's not
do it. No. I can't do it now.
I want my gift.
Can't
she
do it.
She brings gifts.
She does, but we can't do it now.
She
it's
did
over.
Yesterday. I got a $200 digital camera yesterday from her.
See?
Yeah.
I mean, this is bad.
Yeah.
Like, of all the poachings of guests, like, this could be the worst
one. The one guest that likes to give.
I mean, we had, and I don't know why I'm so phlegmy right now, but we had.
Because you're emotional about this. I understand.
Mike coughs when I have phlegm. He coughs in there. It's part of his OCD. No, you just did. It's part of your OCD. I see it. It's crazy. So think about how strong our bond was with Katie Linden-Dahl. We even allowed her psychic friend to come on the program.
Yes.
Right.
Like she said, I've got a psychic friend.
Yep.
Can he come on the show? And we said, yes. That's how strong our bond was with Katie Linden-Dahl.
Cough. He held it in.
Yeah, I know. He's trying not to.
I know. We did a little partner deal.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll recruit you. Okay, we got to bring you. He has to come with you. All right. Package deal. We did a package deal with her.
Unbelievable. This is rough.
I want my gift. Y'all better book her. I look forward to that gift this time of year. It's the only gift I get.
No.
I get one gift. It's from Katie Linden-Dahl.
We're not.
That's it.
It's over. We cannot.
Yeah, it's over.
Yeah, it's just full-blown DA guest.
Yeah. On a number of fronts, it's over.
What do you mean by the other fronts?
What do you mean by that now?
There's no other,
hooking up with her?
There's no you're just...
That is not disgusting. Just go. What's the other
despicable,
front?
Despicable, I think is what he said.
Oh, you sit here staring at booties on your phone, and I'm despicable.
I'm not staring. I look and I move on.
To the next booty. Yeah, you move on to the next.
All right, so on a number of fronts, it's what now, Bogus?
Well, it's over because what's the next holiday that the two of you are going to be here for that you can come in and visit? Boxing Day?
Kwanzaa.
Kwanzaa. Come on.
Yeah,
well, I might
be next week.
No, I'll say this too. They typically reach out to me to book the spot. It's always been like that.
It has not always been like that because I suggested her to you.
Since the first one, they've reached out to me, so they didn't reach out to me. I'll say that.
Well, you should have reached out to her.
I should have, yeah.
Call next week, dog. Got to do it.
Facts.
Got to do it.
We can't do it.
She was here
when?
She was here 2 days ago?
Yesterday.
Okay, so not next week, the 19th.
It can't. We can't do it. No.
Give me the damn number. I'll do it. We can do it.
It's over.
It's not over.
It's if you saw yesterday, you'd know it was over. It's over.
Yeah.
She does not care about us.
Wow.
It's done. Bogus saw it too. It's over. She is a DA guest.
Well, can I do this? Can y'all let me handle this one?
No.
No. I'm telling you, you weren't here to see it.
It's not over.
It is.
It's never over.
Pete got a gift.
Yeah.
And he loved it.
What did he get?
He got Super Mario pajama pants. because the last time she was here on Halloween, he was dressed as Luigi, and his reason for dressing as Luigi was because he thought Luigi was overlooked and overshadowed by Mario. So to bring him
which
Mario
is just so him.
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
I mean, but, I would say, what did Luigi do to make himself?
Yeah, I mean, Pete is the Luigi.
I mean, is Luigi getting overlooked, or is it Luigi's fault, Pete?
Woe is me.
That would all I would say. Like, why exactly is Luigi getting the short end of the stick?
Yeah. Average plumber.
He's not underrated. He's just rated.
You give me Katie's, I'll reach out to her.
No,
yes.
No.
I'm going to reach out to her right now on the Twitter.
No, we should counteract whoever Katie Linendoll's biggest competition is, we should now book.
Ooh.
That's what we should do. Like whoever's on like Good Morning America instead of the Today Show, whoever that person is, we'll get them instead. Or we could get like the Hood Christmas tech person. Like we could get that too. I think that would also be pretty funny.
Like you cheating on us, Katie?
And where can you find that? Down the block at the Johnson's house. Yeah. What do you mean? Living room?
Yeah, it's both. Where'd that come from?
And it's on sale.
Knock twice and ask for Ricky.
I got somebody.
Oh, do you? Oh, got me excited.
Over up in Harlem. Yeah. Harlem up in here.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What y'all want?
I'm gonna go use my new camera from Katie, I'll see you guys later.
So you got a gift.
I got a research gift. It's for kids, and she's like, you've got two kids? I was like, I do.
It's not over, man.
Bond is real.
As soon as I find her, my direct message to her from way back when, I'm getting on it. It's not over. It's never over. You guys are crazy.
Great line. I can't say.
Say it!
I can't. We're coming right back.
Keep up with the latest on the show on Twitter at Gio and Jones.
So it looks
every
like...
Every damn white coach getting a job and brothers sitting on the sideline every damn day. Ain't nothing changing, America. Head coaching experience, my you know what.
So
that's a good segue.
What I think Brian's referring to, just a guess, is that Tennessee's going to go with Alabama defensive coordinator Jeremy Pruitt.
Of course not!
Barring some sort of 11th hour change.
I was talking about this high school coaching job down in West Texas.
Oh, sorry. I made an assumption there. I probably shouldn't have. So I guess the biggest argument that you would have comes from the no coaching experience thing. So that was every person that you asked about T. Martin that we had on.
Hadn't been a head coach.
Yeah.
Been a head coach.
Right.
No head coach experience.
So then they go with a guy who...
No head coaching experience.
Right.
Yeah. He's been a damn good defensive coordinator at Alabama. He goes to Florida. Florida State wins a national title there. Then goes to Georgia and then back to Alabama. There for a while, he'd won like three or four national titles in a row. Of course, back-to-back with Alabama. Then the first year he's there at Florida State, he wins one as a defensive coordinator. And then he goes to Georgia now. He's going to leave Alabama again and become the new head coach at Tennessee. So if you can't lick them, get one of their own. That's what Tennessee's doing.
Why, though, if you're Jeremy Pruitt, is this the opportunity for you when you've seen how this thing is unfolded? Because clearly this is a guy who's going to get other opportunities because of his standing in the college football world. I'm sure he's interviewed for other jobs as well. Prior to this, do you think that because of the lack of head coaching experience in other situations, he might not be able to jump to such a high-profile job, and he thought that the conditions were right? Because to me, I'm thinking, because generally, like a guy like that, you don't get it. Those opportunities don't happen as much. I guess it happened with Kirby Smart, too, at Georgia. But, I mean, it doesn't happen as much, maybe. So maybe he's thinking that, but it just seems like a weird place to go if you have other options with the way that this situation has been handled.
And it's interesting also, I wonder if Florida State reached out to him with their opening, or if they already had their eye on Willie Taggart and his recruiting prowess, because he left Oregon with the best recruiting class they'd ever put together. I would like to know whether or not they reached out, considering he had been on that campus. He'd been a defensive coordinator when they won their national title. But that being said, this Tennessee job, I've always maintained, this is still a great job. This is one of the best in America. Now, yes, they made a mess of it. John Curry and whoever else you want to name. Of course, that mob that went out and just did the most idiotic thing of digging in the crates and trying to assign some allegations to Greg Schiano and soil his reputation, that was just ludicrous. But it's still a great job. And when you have an opportunity to jump to an institution like Tennessee, I think you have to take it. And there were others who said no because of everything that was transpiring around it, but they were still into a pretty good situation. Dave Doran, you know, he gets a raise. Mike Gundy, we knew day one he wasn't leaving Oklahoma State, and he parlayed the interest from Tennessee into a raise as well. Mike Norvell, you know, his name had been mentioned with the job. He now has a new extension there in Memphis, and not sure why he decided to stay in Memphis and not go to Tennessee, but it's a hell of a job, and this is a great opportunity now for Jeremy Pruitt. And another one of Nick Saban's guys is getting a head coaching job. Jimbo Fisher was with him at LSU. Of course, you've got Kirby Smart and what he's done there at Georgia in his second year, his alma mater, winning the SEC championship. And now you have Pruitt, who's going to move on, and Will Muschamp at South Carolina. So his coaching tree is starting to spread.
Starting to infect others.
Yes, it is.
At this point. Mm-hmm. Did they end up getting a guy that you think can succeed? Really what it comes
down to. He's been a damn good defensive coordinator, so I have no idea what type of head coach he's going to be.
I mean, it just seems like they went through a lot of different guys, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, so, it seems like if the reports were true, the call to T. Martin was just a token call. Hey, how you doing, T? You good? All right. Bye.
But why is that?
I have no idea. Why are you even calling if he's not going to be a legitimate candidate for your job? And should have made that call a long time ago.
Yeah, it is surprising to me, especially now that they've gone with a guy who has not been a head coach. Because every other name that you heard was someone who'd been a head coach before.
And I said that. I said this from day one. That prerequisite is only applicable to a certain demographic. So it was Bull Dookie when it was spewed by all the guests we had on here and those at Tennessee. That was not going to be a deal breaker if you had not been a head coach.
So the most intense, comical, disgusting at times, stomach-turning clown show in sports has now come to an end. Tennessee, congratulations, and best of luck.
Yeah.
We'll be watching. Coming up next, the worst commissioner I have ever witnessed gets a contract that could pay him $40 million a year. It's Gio and Jones coming right back on CBS Sports Radio.